while every head is bowed. Oh, thank you, Father, for Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, that the beauty of the Lord is so wonderful. Thank you, God, that, oh, you're beginning to uncork your saints. How wonderful. Oh, it's a precious time, Lord God. Oh, Lord, with all that is within us, may we praise you and thank you. And, Lord, just really, God, allow the groaning of praise to just so encompass our lives. You are so worthy to be praised. And, Lord, thank you again how you exercise us thereby. And how wonderful that praise, God, it is. It's a sweet-smelling sacrifice to you. And God, thank you again for that Holy Ghost feeling, Lord. There's nothing like it. Oh, to just freely give you thanks and honor and praise and glory for everything that you are in us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, we're ready to hear your word because you've given us an ear to hear it. Lord, we ask this morning, open our hearts to receive it. God, help us not to be indifferent today and to tune things off of what you have for us, God. We're here. It's a divine appointment. Your word is for the moment, and we're thankful for this moment. Praise God. We're in Christ forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles with me today, we're going to Matthew, and we'll go to the 5th chapter. And again, so thankful to God for his great grace to us. And in the 5th chapter, in the 48th verse, it says there, be ye, therefore perfect. Then, matter of fact, it didn't say try to be, did it? It didn't say attempt to be. It didn't say you have to be good to be. It just said be. You starting to get it? That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Be ye therefore perfect. Whew. Even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You read something like that, you hear something like that, and you really don't know God's plan and purpose and provision and power, you're going to say, well, that's really a neat thing to say, but, you know, come on. Like him? Perfect? No way. But I'm going to tell you something, and I rejoice with you. You begin to understand the plan, the purpose, the provision, and the power. And that plan and purpose and provision and power lives in you. You begin to start jumping around a little bit. You begin to praise him. You begin to thrill and to rejoice about that righteous and holy life that is performing this perfection in your life. Praise be to God. It's wonderful, brothers and sisters, because it is all him. That's also known as because it is all grace. We got, think of this. I hope I have the liberty to say this now. We got all the Godhead DNA. Do you know who your Father is? Do you know the life that you now live? Do you know who lives in you? Christ liveth in me. Oh, hallelujah. Sons, not someday, but now. Born of God. Yes, at the very moment, I said, Lord, come into my life. And praise be to God now, growing up into all things in Christ Jesus. Yes, growing up like him. Now let's read it again. Sons, praise the Lord. Be. Praise the Lord. Get yourself out of the way. Just be who you are in Christ. Be. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And it's this little verse, praise God, that the Lord so touched my heart. Thinking a little bit about our own precious children, maybe even your grandchildren today. And maybe it's just because Mother's Day, God willing, will be next week. Father's Day, just around the corner. But I was thinking about this, and the Lord so just ravished my heart to think about the example, our Heavenly Father, and the vision that He has for us. Oh, you got a Father. Oh, you have an Abba Father. You've got a Dad that cares about you so much. And He cared about you so much that in ages past, before He ever set a star in heaven, He was thinking about your life in Christ. Completely, not just thinking about it, but captivated with that alone. About how that growth in Christ, all of that precious growth into all things in His Son, that transforming power, the perfect plan, and all the providing that He's done. But that's what God was thinking of in this vision for us, His children. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. We need to take maybe just a little, but how about a lot of bit of that in raising our own children? And I want you to really think about that vision today. Because first off, brothers and sisters, there has to be always a plan. God started with a plan. He laid this out perfectly, all in one place in His Son, obviously. And all of the provision and the purpose and the power and the plan all in that one place, praise the Lord. But brothers and sisters, He had a vision for you. And you think, brothers and sisters, that you have to have a vision before anything else is going to be provided. The plan has to be there. See, a lot of people, they think, well, I got to provide, and all of that. But listen to me. You can provide all you want, but without a plan, without a vision, all of that providing has no meaning. Come on. I know the intents. We want to provide. We want to prepare things in a way, but you have to have the vision first. And this is how God is encouraging this today, brothers and sisters. There must be a vision. There must be a goal for our children, just as God has for us. God's got a goal for you. Did you know that? Oh, yes, He's got. And you know what? He's got the same goal for every single one of His children. Now, I see some looks over there. You're saying there's no way that those over there, God is thinking about as much as me over here. But we're talking about God. And you should feel that special. But don't be that ignorant. Because His love is so incredible. And it's big. It's got enough to cover you, cover me. And matter of fact, it covered a multitude of sin. Praise the Lord. But see, it's so sweet, brothers and sisters, because He's got one thing in mind for you, and that's maturity. Mature sons. An abundance of good fruit in your life. And not just to participate in a race that He's talking about. Not just to show up for the race, to get in the heat. No, you're in the final heat. And He's got but one thought for you, and that is to win that race. Amen. And to finish with a full joy, because praise be to God, Lord, if You've put all these things in that Son that lives in me, that plan, the purpose, the provision, and the power, I'm going to win. I can be joyful right now because I know that by the grace of God, I'm counting Him faithful, not that I've already apprehended or attained, but I'm joyful if He be for me. Praise be to God. Who could be against me? Yes. Oh, how wonderful. He's got a plan, not just an heir, but a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Yes. Now, them is some goals. That is a vision for you. But brothers and sisters, see, God, again, He wanted this for every believer, and He wanted this in ages past. See, He was absolutely consumed in it for you. And see, until our children often, because God did it the same way with us, until our children want it for themselves, do you know what? You got to want it for them. Don't give up now. Let me tell you something. You got to care about it for them until they care about it for themselves. Yes, that's parenting. That's our Father. But see, that's why they're called children. Because they're not grown up yet. Because they're not mature completely yet. That's why they're called young adults or young men and young women, because they're not fully grown. I appreciated how the Lord even in true science, you know, true science is God. Did you know that? Because he set it all up. Every law about, you know, gravity and all that kind of, God just, okay, there it is. Just done. Amen. Not you, though. He's got years in you. He's got his son in you. Now, here comes my son home one day. And I can't even tell you probably what was going on then. But he had something grand that he had learned at school. And I thought, well, after he told me, I said, Lord, thank you for the humility that at least he gave that out to us. He said, you know what, because he really likes biology. He loves to study about the human system and things like that. And he says, you know, my mind has not completely developed yet. Now, I had to take everything that was within me not to say, amen. It's tough when daddy's a pastor. But it was so sweet. And I was thinking, okay, what's coming now? But he had to tell us about the mind and the brain and all of these different things. And the very last part of the brain that develops is somewhere in the frontal lobe. I forget what they call it exactly. But it really doesn't even develop fully. They say, well, I'm not even going to go there. I better stop. For some people's all their life. No, I'm just kidding. But till they're 25. Yeah, till they're 25 years old. And what that part of the brain really controls and really brings into full capacity is the consequences of what the future holds. About the consequences of decisions you make right now. How that will affect my future. And you think about that as parents. Isn't that really what parenting is all about? You're saying, honeys, you don't realize this is such an important moment. But how much more so with God all the time in our growth? He's always doing that. It's the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ. You're making decisions. Every single day. Choosing this day, whom I'm going to serve, huh? All the time. But here he is telling me this, and I said, man, that is absolutely so true. And here we are, parents. We live in a world that really isn't helping this, is it? You think about the enemy's lies. So we know this scientific fact that your mind, at best chance, isn't going to develop fully till you're 25. And yet we have an enemy and who's really gotten, well, he is. He's the prince and the power of this air. God set it up that way, saying, well, let the kids make their own choices. Huh? Come on now. Young people, stay in here. There's a reason God did it today. The 6 through 12s are up here this morning. They'll appreciate their little classes more next week. But they tell them to let them make their own choices. They say, you know what? They'll figure it out. Where in the world did God ever say that, huh? Where in the world did it ever say in the Word of God that God, you know what? He just dropped us off and said, you know, you go for it and you just figure it out. No, we have a God that said very specifically in Proverbs 14:12. And in Proverbs 14:12 it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man. And you know what that way always is? Death. It's death. Man's ways will always lead to destruction. Our understanding or our wisdom, naturally speaking, is foolishness to God. And I have news for you, proper children. And proper children, as the Word of God is talking about, children that love the Lord. Children that will increase in grace and truth. By God's grace are raised and they are chastened. They're not just let loose and say, well, go on your own. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 with me. Those kids that are just turned on their own and loosed. It's basically the Word of God says they don't have parents. They're illegitimate. Let's read from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. It says there, and have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children? my son. Listen here, young people, especially if you have parents and grandparents and ones that love you so. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. See, he chastens you. He deals with you not to irritate you, not to punish you. It's because he loves you. How many times, parents, have you said that to your children? Said, honeys, I'm not trying to drive you nuts. I love you. I have a vision. I have a desire. And I can just hear my Heavenly Father telling me this moment by moment, honey, trust me. Trust me. I love you. I love you. So he says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourgeth every son whom he receives. So see, every one of you, he wants you. If ye endure chastening, so if you'll realize how precious it is, how needful it is, how that God is doing this because he loves you. So if you'll endure this, if you'll apprehend and embrace this, these sufferings, because they really are. God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, listen to this. I know this. You do too. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Praise God. See, if you do spare that rod, brothers and sisters, and I want you to understand this very clearly, this rod is not meaning to beat into subjection. It's not that at all. Correction, brothers and sisters, is a firm hand of love. It's a consistent hand. It doesn't just do it one moment and this and up and down. That just is confusion. The one thing about our God, he's consistent. Absolutely, preciously consistent. And see, we're not. That's why we need him. And here he's given us all of him. How he deals with us, brothers and sisters, in every manner of our lives, whether husband, wife, child, parent, friends, family, brethren, all of those things. God shows us here how the perfect love of God performs it all in our lives. Amen? Amen. I thank the Lord for this. I have. He's in heaven. But I had, in a sense, such a wonderful daddy on this earth. 13 years ago, almost, the Lord took him home. Praise the Lord. But I have a sweet natural daddy. And I think about the dad that he was given. Wasn't much of a dad at all. Matter of fact, in every way, shape, and form, pretty much a great disappointment. There wasn't any pattern to follow or anything of that nature. So there was every reason, I guess, naturally speaking, to give the excuses of why my dad should have been a flop, a failure as a dad. Don't ever get caught up into that devil's trap. Don't do it. It's not just breaking the pattern or breaking the cycle. It's about Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he's been made all things to you. Do you know that? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. There isn't anything in this life that isn't in one of those four things. And forever too, by the way. Amen? It's all there. We are without excuse. And I thank God, I praise the Lord, he gave me the greatest dad that I could ever imagine. And I've said it many times to my kids. That's the only thing that I wish they would have had more time with their grandpa, because he was such a treasure. But thank the Lord, there are patterns, I pray, and convictions of my life that I'm pouring out to my children. And I don't care if my kids think that I'm living in 3000 BC. Dad, you're not even from this age. I say, well, I'm not even from this world. You got alien daddy. And praise be to God, I got alien sons. They just don't know it yet, maybe. Bunch of aliens. Oh, it's a good time to have a good time in Jesus, isn't it? But I'll tell you what, you spare that correction, brothers and sisters, and you're going to get a wayward and an unruly child. See, waywardness is bound in the heart of a child. How many times have we even had lately? They didn't just come out sweet. Ooh, they look so sweet. But waywardness is bound in there. And that rod of correction, that firm hand of love, truth in love is really what it is. It is. It drives it far from them, praise the Lord. Yes. But see, brothers and sisters, you raise them in the truth and love, and praise God, you'll have children, as the Word of God says, that rise up and call their mama blessed. Nothing greater than I see my sons beginning to appreciate their mama. Amen. To love their mom. To cherish a godly mom. Praise the Lord. And dads, you talk about a rejoicing. To have sons that love the Lord and are doing things that are pleasing to God. But brothers and sisters, as we just read here, it's to their benefit. It's to their benefit. It really is. See, there are parents that yell at their kids and scream at them and do harsh things to their kids. And the Bible says that all that does is provoke them to wrath. Did you know that? And matter of fact, that kind of stuff isn't raising kids. That's called selfishness, by the way. But when you train up a child in the way that they should go, that's love. And love will give you confidence. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that how God does it with you? You find out how much he loves you and you begin to get confidence, don't you? Amen. Confidence in his love. Not confidence in your faithfulness, because again, you don't have any, but confidence in his love, and that love changes everything about you. That love makes you confident. Praise God that, you know what, that foundation is sure. It's secure. It's a rock that is so far higher than I, but praise be to God by his grace, I'm always standing on it. Man, it's my launching pad for everything. Isn't it wonderful? I think about that. Here I am, little eagle. I'm on that rock, and bam, got another trial. Well, let's go, you know. And whenever I don't go in his strength, it's, but then those wings, that mama, it just brings me right back up. But see, I thank God for these things, the confidence that love gives. And it gives you a confidence, brothers and sisters, love does, to be beyond what you could ever be. And that's exactly what the Lord does in our lives with how he loves us. He gives us a confidence, praise be to God, that, Lord, beyond whatever I thought I could be, beyond whatever I even imagined I could be, I see it in the man, the new man that lives in me. That's what God does. But now think of this even for our kids. Well, I'd like to say one other thing. You think about the expectations that he lays out for you. He's very clear in that too. And I think that's very important. I want to make sure you see that, brothers and sisters. He lays these things out. He shows them to you. There is a path, there is a vision that God so clearly communicates to us. But it's all in his love. It's all in his grace. Amen. And in that, I appreciated my parents. My parents were very similar in that. And that's what the Lord does. They raised us to believe that we could accomplish anything. Set your sights as high as you want. Praise the Lord. I thank God for that. That's love. And as my dad would say, and go compete for it, son. See, we hear today's language. Oh, competition is bad. Give everybody a badge. Huh? Let me tell you something. Compete. But as my daddy said so clearly to me, it's not that you're competing against everybody else.
Uh-uh. You compete with yourself. This is what this is. And man, I thank God as he was. This was such a treasure thinking back over all of this. My dad would say it over and over. Don't worry about the other guy. Quit worrying about him. You just focus on yourself. He says, that's the only one. That's the only one that you're going to have anything to do with, anything that you can take care of. You have to only think of that. And as I've grown in the Lord, I think, oh, Lord, how on the mark that is. He tells us, tend your own garden. Amen. Tend your own garden. Focus on that garden. Praise be to God. Let it be a testimony to others. But quit looking at my garden. Stop it. Tend yours. Amen. Praise God. And then, my goodness, when you really tend that garden, and here it is, the Word of God in our lives, we begin to really see that, you know what, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's there for all of us, and it's there for all of our families. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Parents, it's not only okay to train your children up, but it's your responsibility. It is. It's a requirement. And it is. You give them a vision. And I'm not talking about giving your kids a vision to say, okay, go build bigger barns and bigger barns and bigger barns. Oh, no. I'm telling you, give your kids a vision to magnify God in everything they do. That whatever you're doing, do it heartily unto God. Glory Him in this. Honor Him in this. See, the Word of God tells us without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision for you and your child, let me tell you something. There's no goal. There's going to be perishing on the way. We have to be focused in what we're doing here. There is a slumbering that is happening in Christianity. And that slumbering is the world's complacency. And it is. We're not fighting flesh and blood. This isn't about people. This is spiritual wickedness in high places and all of these things. It's telling us that, you know what, it doesn't matter. I'm hearing this all the time. Oh, there's too much stress. If you don't have any stress, you're dead. Do you understand that? As you go on in the Lord, you know what? You're going to have more stressful things. No offense to everybody, but what is marriage? What are kids? What are all those things? They're joys, they're wonderful things, but they bring stress. And it's not to how to deal with stress. It's, praise God, is how to glory in that. Hallelujah. That God has brought these things into my life. Praise God, and He'll show Himself faithful. And again, think of these things. Well, competition, I said it earlier, is not good. How about this one? Everybody should have the same. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, please heed to the Word of God. You will find none of that. None of that in this precious word. He set you on a race course to not give, you know, He wants everybody to win. But and it's not just about finishing, it's about winning. You get that? That's the competition of the ages, that you win Him. I'm not running against you or anything of that nature. I'm running to attain and to apprehend and to finish with that joy. And there's one joyful finish, and that's the winner. Isn't that awesome? Think about it. You know, every man's going to be in his own order. Every man's going to have their own rank. Huh? Now, I don't understand how it works on up over there, because we're talking God, and people aren't going to be petty and jealous like they're trying to do now. Because we're looking at things, and somebody's got more than me, and that ain't fair. Get over that. You got to quit. Somebody will always have more than you, and somebody will always have less than you. It doesn't matter. Do you believe that we have a perfect God, or are we just worrying about whether we're in a monarchy or a republic or a democracy or whatever it is? We get so caught up in that. God showed us time and time again. He raised men and women that loved the Lord. He did them under pharaohs. He did them under Neros. He's done it all the way through, because God doesn't need a certain kind of establishment naturally speaking, to raise up people that love the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, and one more thing to that too. You think about those ones that brought back as they were given those talents. Whether it was two or five. Those are the ones that invested. And praise God, they were given that double portion, each one of them. Amen. Well, wait a second. He still had more than me. Matter of fact, now he really has more than me. I didn't read that in that story. I read that, thank you, God, for what I have. All right. We got some praying to do, don't we? Amen. All right? Don't matter which side you think you're on. There's no sides. You're one. And pray. Hallelujah. Now we close it up here. Brothers and sisters, here it is. Press on. Press on. Don't give up. Don't look at the world's statistics for your life. I got news for you. You're not a statistic. You're a child of the living God. Know that. Know it. Absolutely know it, know it, know it. Don't settle because someone or someones have labeled you this or that. Get a dream. Amen. Get an unction from the Lord. Praise God. Yes. Yes. And go for it. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid of hard work. Don't run away from hard work. You be slothful in that, you're going to be slothful in all things. Don't be afraid of success. And I do want to make sure you understand this. It's not about the outcome. It's never about the outcome. It's all about the input. About giving God the glory. When we're doing it heartily under the Lord, what is the outcome? It's glory. Doesn't matter what it appears to man's eyes. People look at me, oh, well, you just can't lose. That's right. Now you get it. Heartily under the Lord, I've already won. Praise God. That's it. And in that input, brothers and sisters, I'll assure you this. The reward has already been won. The reward, praise God, is already laid up. And I'm telling you, it's in a bank account. Very unlike Cyprus. It's hard for me to get away from my business ways sometimes. But it's in a bank account that no moth can get to, no rust can get to, no thief can get to. It's laid away completely for you. He put you here for one thing, and I appreciate how brother prays about it once in a while. He didn't put you here to give it a good try. Matter of fact, he didn't even put you here to say, oh, well, I got to give it my best shot. He didn't put you here to lose. He put you here for one thing, to win. You're a winner. You've got the life that's already the winner, the more than a conqueror, that I can do all things. That's the life that you have. I think it's time to let that life live. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again for this time that we can rejoice in your faithfulness and your word to us. Lord, help this just transform us, and God, to truly renew the mind. And God, just thanking you again that Christ in us is the hope of glory. And thanking you, Lord Jesus, that you are so for us. And I thank you, God, that we are in that life and in that reality. Nothing is hard for God. Increase your faith in the people. Lord, help us to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.